As I crossed the dry, lonesome stretch of the Dinosaur Diamond prehistoric highway, I tried to picture what western Colorado, a wilderness of sage-covered mesas and rocky canyons, looked like 150 million years ago, in late Jurassic time. North America was breaking away from Europe and Asia. All three had formed a primordial supercontinent called Laurasia. The huge landmass, flatter than it is today, was drifting northward a few centimeters per year and was passing like a ship through the waters of what geographers would come to call the Tropic of Cancer. Mile-high Denver was near sea level and lay about as far south as where the Bahamas are today. Though the climate was fairly dry, webs of rivulets connecting shallow lakes and swamps covered part of the land, and vegetation abounded. There were no grasses or flowers. They had yet to evolve, just a weird mix of conifers commingling with ginkgos, tree ferns, cycads, and horsetails. Giant termite nests soared as much as 30 feet high. Splashing and stomping through this Seuss-like world were Stegosaurus, Allosaurus, Brachiosaurus, Barosaurus, Seismosaurus, their bones buried far below me as I made my way from Grand Junction to a town called Dinosaur. Occasionally, one can glimpse outcroppings of the Jurassic past. Exposed by erosion, seismological uplift, or a highway department road cut, colorful bands of sediment that form a paleontological treasure house called the Morrison Formation. I knew what to look for from photographs. Crumbling layers of reddish, grayish, purplish, sometimes greenish sediment, geological debris piled up over some 7 million years. Just south of the town of Fruta, on the Colorado River, I hiked to the top of Dinosaur Hill, stopping for a moment to pick up a pinch of purplish Morrison mudstone that had fallen near the trail. As I rolled it in my fingers, it crumbled like dry cookie dough. On the far side of the hill, I came to a shaft where, in 1901, a paleontologist named Elmer Riggs extracted 6 tons of bones that had belonged to an Apatosaurus, the proper name for what most of us call a Brontosaurus. Alive and fully hydrated, the 70-foot-long reptile would have weighed 30 tons. Riggs encased the bones in plaster of Paris for protection, ferried them across the Colorado on a flat-bottom boat, and then shipped them by train to the Field Museum in Chicago, where they were reassembled and put on display. After making my way north to Dinosaur, population 339, where Brontosaurus Boulevard intersects Stegosaurus Freeway, I stood at an overlook and watched Morrison stripes in a canyon reddening with the setting sun. But it was a little farther west, along the Green River and the western reaches of Dinosaur National Monument, that I saw the most beautiful example. A cliffside of greenish grays slumping into purples, slumping into browns. It indeed resembled, as the woman at the park headquarters had told me, melted Neapolitan ice cream. It was somewhere in these parts that a dinosaur bone was discovered that displays what may be the oldest known case of cancer. After the dinosaur died, whether from the tumor or something else, its organs were eaten by predators or rapidly decomposed. But the skeleton, at least a piece of it, gradually became buried by wind-blown dirt and sand. Later on, an expanding lake or a meandering stream flowed over the debris, and the stage was set for fossilization. Molecule by molecule, minerals in the bones were slowly replaced by minerals dissolved from the water. Tiny cavities were filled and petrified. Several epochs later, dinosaurs were long extinct, their world overlaid by lakes and deserts and oceans. But this fossilized bone, encased in sedimentary rock, was preserved and carried through time. That hardly ever happened. Most bones disintegrated before they could become fossilized. And of the fraction that survived long enough to petrify, all but a few remain buried. The specimen, now labeled CM-72656 and housed at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh, was a survivor. Unearthed by a rushing river or exposed by tectonic forces, somehow it was delivered to the surface of our world where, 150 million years after the animal died, it was discovered by some forgotten rockhound. A cross-section was cut with a rock saw, polished, and after passing through who knows how many human hands, the fossil found its way to a Colorado rock shop, where it caught the eye of a doctor who thought he knew a case of bone cancer when he saw one. His name was Raymond G. Bunge, a professor of urology at the University of Iowa College of Medicine. In the early 1990s, he telephoned the school's geology department to ask if someone could come evaluate a few prized specimens in his collection. The call made its way through the switchboard to Brian Witzke, who on a cold autumn day bicycled to the doctor's house and was presented with an attractive chunk, 5 inches thick, of mineralized dinosaur bone.